Over a black background, gray block letters appear one by one, forming the words Accelerator Media. On a pavement-colored background, a white circle with a red letter in it appears. Beneath it, in red, appear the words Rugged Entertainment. On a beige background, a cartoonish outline of a human head appears. Gears appear as eyes and the copyright symbol as a mouth. Beneath the head appear the words Headgear. A vintage film countdown from 8 to 2 appears, then black and white footage of soldiers marching through a grassy field. Military supply trucks and soldiers in a jeep. German officers.
As the Allied armies advance, Hitler's generals devise a master plan to counter the Allied attack. With the German army ready to defend itself to the end. Germany's high command visit Hitler at his mountaintop retreat at Burghof. However, once there, they are rebuffed by the Führer himself, who tells them he has more important matters at hand. His birthday celebration.
A painting of Hitler.
On 4/20/1944, Hitler celebrates his birthday while his armies are decimated in Western Europe.
Footage of U.S. soldiers firing weapons.
His generals conclude that the Führer's recent pacifism, paranoia, and indecisiveness are due to his recent hashish habit that he acquired while invading Morocco.
A photo of Hitler slumped in a chair.
Without a clear plan and heavy losses, the Germans hastily retreat, leaving the Allies victorious. The men who fought this bloody campaign will never forget. A date that will live forever in history. The legend of 420. Wait, that's not the legend of 420. This is the legend of 420.
Quick flashing images of people from different ethnicities and cultures growing, harvesting, and smoking marijuana from the late 19th century until today. Young men load bags of marijuana into a large Tupperware container. Caption, somewhere in Humboldt, California, USA.
How often do I transport cannabis? Every time that I get a large enough order, it could be anywhere from 50 to a few hundred pounds.
A dreadlocked man lifts a container and carries it away. On a couch, he smokes marijuana in a bong. Caption, Butterfly Jones, transporter. He blows out a huge cloud of smoke. In a garage, Jones and another man load garbage bags full of marijuana into the trunk of a hatchback station wagon. They slap palms and pound fists. Jones leaves in the station wagon. On a highway, he weaves around other vehicles in fast motion. The speedometer reads 85 miles an hour. A gray-haired man in a button-up shirt and suit jacket. Caption, Scott Chipman, Citizens Against the Legalization of Marijuana.
Why is it that there's this attraction to being in an altered state? Because that's the source of the problem.
Anyone here never been high before?
A comedian.
Wow, all right. I'm the last guy. I do stand-up comedy. I've never smoked weed. And when you tell comics that, you blow their minds, right? Basically, you get a couple of responses. Either be like, dude, just try it, man. It's going to open up your mind. You're going to be so much funnier, like next-level stuff, bro. Or they're like, dude, stay away from that stuff. You don't need it. It's going to ruin your life. And what's scary is it's the same guy telling me both those things.
I was a kid in the 70s. When it was outlawed, it was the devil's weed.
Footage of 1960s counterculture members smoking marijuana. Tommy Chong.
It was good for you, so therefore I always felt it was legal.
A young man sits behind a drum kit.
I was really tired of going to shops and seeing a lot of crappy meds. So I thought, fuck it, I'll grow my own.
A grow-up, a bearded man in a suit.
People are purchasing legal marijuana that's quality controlled, and they know what they're getting in legal shops in the United States.
A marijuana shop.
Nobody that anybody can ever show has ever died of marijuana.
Bags of marijuana. Henry Rollins.
I don't think cannabis is a problem. I think the ignorance is the problem.
A bald man in a suit.
The war on drugs has been a war on young people with addiction issues, people of color, and people from the lower socioeconomic backgrounds.
A woman in a gray cardigan.
There's been voluminous studies on the topic that have completely debunked that marijuana is a gateway drug.
A man snorts cocaine.
There's a lot of money in this, and now business is starting to come in and say, oh, I'm going to take this shit over.
a bearded man.
The mindset that I was brought up with was, yes, that marijuana and cocaine and acid and all those hippie drugs, that they're all the same.
Out of a cloud of smoke appears the title, The Legend of 420, Bernie Sanders at a podium.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
We have got to stop imprisoning people who use marijuana.
The marijuana thing is such a big thing. I really believe you should leave it up to the states.
I like where it is now. If the state wants to try it, they can.
I think California is going to vote to legalize it in November, and I think that's really going to be the tipping point.
Yeah, if we remember to vote.
Gary Johnson on Jimmy Kimmel.
California is just weeks away from a pivotal vote on the future of pot. It is one of the most controversial measures on California's ballot this November. Voters approved medical marijuana use 20 years ago. Now, Prop 64 would legalize and tax the recreational use of marijuana.
Potentially, those taxes could bring in $1 billion in revenue. Supporters say Prop 64 could end the drug war and safely regulate the widely used drug.
Nick Morrow, law enforcement against prohibition.
Prop 64 is the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. Essentially what it does is it establishes a licensing structure for recreational use. You as a private citizen over 21 years of age can have an ounce of marijuana in your pocket, and you can grow 6 plants in your house and keep what you produce from those 6 plants. An officer could pull you over, and if you have an ounce of marijuana and you're not under the influence, he'll hand your cannabis back to you, have a nice day, no crime. By January 2018, they'll have the structure in place where people can actually apply for licenses and go into business to sell marijuana recreationally.
Today, California voters cast their ballots on Prop 64, which will legalize recreational use of marijuana. Advocates for marijuana say...
I voted yes.
I voted for Proposition 64.
I'm tired of Colorado being the coolest state in the nation.
The legalization of marijuana passing 56% to 44%.
Marijuana is now legal.
In a hall, young adults smoke marijuana. News footage.
This moves it from the cooperatives and the small and the clinical sales of it to full-scale recreational use.
A number of states have decriminalized the possession of small amounts of marijuana. 7 states and the District of Columbia have adopted the most expansive laws legalizing marijuana for recreational use.
On a boardwalk along a beach, a skateboarder, comedian Matt Billing.
My buddies are all potheads. It's always funny, too. You know, we're always sick. Always have like flu or something. He's always smoking a joint. You're like, no way, you have a cold? I just got over one last week. It's fucking weird. There you go. Mono, flu, cold. Hey, thanks, man. I'm just as dumbfounded as you. There you go.
Cannabis activist Kenneth Cole.
I was the youngest player for Australia at 18 in the World Championships. I played in 2 Olympics.
Black and white footage of a basketball game.
I became a playing coach in Australia. Won every national championship that could be won in my entire career. When I got into trouble in 86 for smoking marijuana with my team at the end of a season, all hell broke loose. But that was the first time that I can ever know of in any top-level sport in the United States or Australia or anywhere where they fired the coach a week before the finals with the best record in the history of the league, which still stands today 30 years later. The team refused to play until they reinstated me. The whole city was incredibly supportive. And the committee had to back down and reinstate me. Any sport that is a contact sport that develops pain, if the athletes can get some marijuana, I believe it would be an absolute blessing for top-level sporting people. I use a substantial amount for my cancer on an everyday basis. And as far as I know at this stage, it's the only reason that I'm still alive.
Dan Munoz, Advanced Nutrients.
I'm born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, where there used to be 50,000 plus manufacturing jobs in the city alone. When GM went bankrupt and I lost my job, it was like cannabis was there. I took my severance pay and I built the grow room in Michigan. And since then, I've been in the caregiver network in the medical marijuana industry in Michigan.
Nick Morrow.
Marijuana does 400 different things, helps with 400 different maladies. When you take all of that into account, why would you deny a medical use? You have Pfizer and all the other big pharma companies that can produce medicines for us at very high cost. Or you could have marijuana that you can grow in your own backyard that'll treat a myriad of symptoms.
It's a folk remedy that's been used for 3,000 years. It's only the last 75 years that it's been demonized in the United States and the rest of the world.
Oncology specialist Dr. Donald Abrams.
There is an increasing body of evidence that the active ingredients in cannabis, cannabidiol or CBD, are showing benefit in children with difficult to control seizures.
My husband Jason and I relocated from Oklahoma as cannabis refugees for our son Austin. Austin's condition is known as Dravet syndrome. It's the catastrophic form of epilepsy. They are full body convulsions where you stop breathing.
Footage of Austin having a seizure.
He would have dozens to hundreds every single day. He has cognitive and physical decline, similar to Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease. Any legally prescribed pharmaceutical for epilepsy, our son has tried. He would have significant weight gain or weight loss, rage, anger, sadness, and none of them stopped the seizures. None of them. Over 14 years. When I returned to the University of Oklahoma to do some studies on neurology and our son's condition, I stumbled across the U.S. patent number 6630507, which in that particular patent it proves that cannabinoids are neuroprotectants. It was 40 years of post-World War II modern era research that supported not only the plant as medicinal, but as non-toxic and non-lethal. We knew that cannabis was never going to be an option with Austin in Oklahoma. The doctors said that there was nothing more that they could do for our son. The pharmaceuticals were shutting down his organs and basically to take him home. So in a way we did. We took him to Colorado.
Footage of one of Austin's seizures being arrested by administering a nasal spray.
When you watch your son dying and the doctors tell you there's nothing else that they can do, and then this little plant stops his seizures. It's like we could live again. We had hope again. We knew that we were going to have Austin a little longer.
Amy Dawn Borlon Hildebrand's eyes fill with tears. She smiles. Footage of a smiling Austin playing the guitar.
Now that he's on cannabis, I mean, he tells us that he loves us. He will come over and just hug us to give us a kiss.
Footage of Austin hugging Amy.
Oh, thank you, baby.
He can talk to his little brothers. He can play with his little brothers. He can comprehend and understand things. He's happy now. You know, we used to think that cannabis was bad, too. I used to think it was the devil's lettuce and that it caused people to do crazy things. Now I've learned that's not the case at all. Moving to Colorado saved our son's life. It saved our life.
A photo of Amy and her family. Actor and musician Michael DeBar.
If you're telling me that a family has to leave a state to get something to make their kid feel a little better, are you kidding me? People have to leave their state to alleviate their children's pain? That is outrageous and worth, you know, breaking down the barricades of injustice.
In 2004, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I quickly saw what the chemotherapy was going to do to me, and I understood that these cures, these medicines that they were giving us were terribly destructive to the body. I couldn't imagine someone going through chemotherapy without this for appetite, for depression, for pain, for sleep. And after I had gone through that experience, I realized that I felt very passionate about cannabis, and I really wanted people to know that it was a big part of my recovery.
Instead of writing prescriptions for 5 or 6 different medicines, I can recommend that they try one medicine, and that's cannabis.
It's from the earth. That's why I fuck with it. If I get a headache, I don't go to the fucking aspirin bush and pick an aspirin.
Comedian Paul Farmer.
No, I roll a joint. Some good haze or some good OG, SFVOG. Something good and heavy, just something to make me sit my ass down and think.
His eyes widen. He raises and lowers his eyebrows, then smiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a clearing in a park at night, a young woman approaches a picnic table where three people sit smoking marijuana. A man at the table passes her a joint. She takes a puff on it as she walks away. On a nearby bench, a young man sits behind a burly, bearded man who holds a beer in his hand. The burly man takes a puff of a joint. Actor and musician W. Earl Brown.
I smoked before I go to this Rolling Stones show. I was out of my gourd high. And I remember walking over there thinking, oh shit, you just spent $1,000 on tickets. I hope you remember the show, you idiot.
In the clearing, a gray-haired man sits at the picnic table, smoking marijuana in a bong. Michael DeBar.
The experimentation of drugs is an essential rite of passage for any artist.
In the clearing, a man plays guitar.
What they do is they amplify who you really think you are and want to be.
Singer-songwriter Jason Mraz.
The first time I tried it, it was cosmic. I mean, very cosmic.
In the clearing, the young man and the young woman sit on the bench together, sharing a joint. Superimposed over the scene is footage of a swirling galaxy.
It was enough to make me feel like I was part of a bigger intelligent system. And I just thought that was totally beautiful.
Melissa Etheridge.
There's a reason we call it getting high. It lifts you up. It takes you to a place that an artist is not so afraid of. Everything from Awakening on was completely written and produced and created with the influence of cannabis.
I definitely think some of the best things that pot gave me were perspectives that I wouldn't normally see when I was sober.
I'm an artist, a creator.
Artist Daniel Dunkey's Melatonian draws with a colored marker. On the wall are colorful psychedelic drawings.
My art is definitely cannabis inspired. Cannabis allows me to kind of melt away all the distractions, to get in the zone quicker, to be in the zone longer, and to focus on what I love doing, my passion.
He draws a picture of Jay-Z.
I'm big on painting what I feel. I'm big on expressing emotion in a visual aspect. People will pick up a piece, they'll buy it, come to the counter, and I explain what it means. And they'll be amazed that that's exactly what they were feeling at the moment.
He points at a painting on a wall.
This is the climb. This is represents kind of in life when you're trying to achieve your goal, all the obstacles and everything that you have to overcome to get to the top, to be right over here in this little spot. And this is the guy that's trying to get to the top. So it's like the how you have to balance things in life. You have to carry a bunch of stuff on your back.
At Melatonian's crowded studio space, a DJ performs. A sculpture made with buds of marijuana. A blonde woman holds up a drawing of a sandwich with eyes and a joint sticking out from between the two pieces of bread. It's titled PB&J's.
Everyone who looks at this art smiles. I feel like it's the happy wavelength. When it hits your eyes, you just feel happy. The biggest support I get is from the cannabis community. The cannabis art community. It's huge.
In the studio, young men smoke a huge joint.
If you smoke weed, you enjoy visual art. It's just that they go hand in hand.
Business owner Adrian Papajohn.
Dunkey's art in the cannabis community is definitely highly, highly rated. Definitely one of the top artists for sure.
Melatonian's colorful psychedelic art.
His stuff is really cutting edge. It allows exposure to people that normally don't get close to the vendors that really get to see top quality medicine up close and personal.
As the day go by, let me tell you what I see.
A large marijuana bud.
I see the fear in the heart and the demon in the eye.
A series of increased magnification close-ups show the purple crystals on the dried leaves in greater and greater detail.
We all pray.
Visual artists draw and paint psychedelic images on canvases. comedian Matt Billen.
I had a guy here when I moved here. One comic, he goes, "You want to buy some weed?" I go, "Yeah, fuck, sure, I'll try yours out." He goes, "How much do you want to buy?" I go, "I don't know, maybe an eighth." Dude looks me with a straight face and goes, "Sorry, man, I just have half quarters." Wow. Well, I really wanted an eighth. I guess your half quarter will have to do. I'm not paying eighth prices. How does a drug dealer not know fractions?
In the station wagon, Butterfly Jones makes his way along a country road. On a highway, Mount Shasta rises up above the trees.
Three rules of transport: have a buyer, have a supplier, don't get popped.
As he drives, he smokes marijuana in a bong, filling the car with smoke.
You could have all the weed in the world, but if you don't have a buyer, you just got weed. The selling of it here is usually handled before it's even brought here, and then the purchase of it is handled on the phone before you go up there. So it's really, you know, no nervousness about it. The worst part is the transport. That's the only place you're going to get caught up. So stay low key. Don't stand out. Don't be flashy.
He pulls a brightly colored poncho over his tie-dyed tank top.
My car is a Subaru, man, just like everybody in Humboldt has. Black limo tint around it. It's a long trunk. So when I go there, I just look like I'm from town. I've got a sticker on the back for like the local college radio station. So like when I'm in Humboldt, I look like I'm really supposed to be there. You gotta blend in, because they're bored. Humboldt cops are bored. They'll pop you on the way out of town. That's what they do. They just sit there and wait. Don't speed. Like when you're leaving Humboldt County, just keep it chill. Just drive the speed limit, because that's where they're at. That's where they're chilling.
As he drives, he smokes marijuana in a bong, filling the car with smoke.
Driving's not hard enough as it is. Why don't you put a blowtorch and point it at your lap?
Comedian Michael Schmidt.
And then plan on having your eyes closed in a coughing fit for 35 seconds straight at 80 miles an hour.
Record homicide rates, mass graves, mass incarceration, kidnappings, corruption, drugs, guns, violence, and money. These are all words that best describe the last 45 years of the war on drugs.
The war on drugs is a war on people. We've succeeded in putting a whole bunch of people in jail, nonviolent drug users. We're filling up our jails with those people.
Parents are sick of their kids getting arrested and thrown into prison where they could get raped, murdered, and they get turned onto heroin, they get turned onto crystal meth, and they become institutionalized and criminalized, and when they get out, they've got criminal records, so they can't get jobs.
Defense attorney Jessica McElfrish.
Lost human potential, people going without members of their family for years on end, and the massive cost of incarceration.
A lot of people I know did time because of drugs, and in my mind, they're not criminals. They just got caught up in what became a money-making industry. One of the worst crimes ever perpetrated by the American government on the American people.
Nick Morrow.
Pelican Bay is one of the most secure prisons in the entire country. It's where we put the worst of the worst of the worst. That prison has an opiate overdose rate, several times that of what exists on the street. If you can't keep drugs out of Pelican Bay, you can't keep drugs out of your local high school.
We would rather demonize drugs. We would rather make drugs mysterious. We would rather give these moral qualities to drugs than simply recognize the fact that these are chemical compounds that have psychotropic effects on the human body.
You know, we've taken this out of the back alleys, we've taken it out of the shadows, we've created an environment where people can go, just like you go to a liquor store, and get something that is regulated, you know what you're putting in your body. So we've taken money out of the pockets of our cartels. We've actually seen some decline in crime. We haven't seen teen use of marijuana go up. We've taken in about $135 million in state taxes.
They're gonna legalize pot so they can mend the fucking potholes.
Michael DeBar.
Am I wrong? You legislators, am I wrong? Are you going to take the money? Well, if you don't, it'd be a remarkable change in politics, wouldn't it?
A sign made of large red block letters reads High Times. In a field and in a convention center, vendors, tents, and booths promote marijuana and marijuana-related paraphernalia. A large crowd of people pour past the booths and tents, a man smokes a large joint. High Times magazine editor, David Bienenstock.
So if we can write the rules and create an industry and create a culture that is good for working people, that's good for the environment, that's a huge opportunity, and it's something that is developing right along with legalization.
Paul Armentano.
Normal did a congressional scorecard where we graded every member of Congress based on their statements and their voting record with regard to marijuana policy. 5% of the members of Congress were graded an A, which meant that they had backed publicly the legalization of marijuana. That's a public policy that is now supported by 60% of America, but only 5% of lawmakers in Congress embraced that policy. We did a governor's scorecard, all 50 governors. We found exactly the same results. Only 2 governors out of 50 were on record supporting the regulation of marijuana. Again, at the political level, we simply don't see the support we see among the public.
The Democrats and the Republicans all have to take a certain amount of responsibility for these racist laws.
So in terms of this administration, it defies common sense. Conservatives tend to uphold the ideal of states' rights, so I'm hoping that Donald Trump adheres to that, but I have no fucking idea.
This drug is dangerous. You cannot play with it. It's not funny. It's not something to laugh about. And trying to send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
In that voice, that sounds like it was spawned from like 12 generations of moonshiners.
Comedian Josh Weinstein.
Like Keebler just opened a still. That breaks my heart that I won't be invited to Jeff Sessions' Good People Party. Here it's very formal. White hood only.
Jeff Sessions.
And if we go back into this path, we're going to regret it.
On a federal level, because it's still Schedule 1, this despot is going to stand up there and he's going to say, look, this is what the law is, and I'm going to go after you, even though in your state, you've all agreed that this is what you want to do.
How mad can the reefer madness get? You've got a president that's worried about terrorism, and he wants to spend money and time going after law-abiding cannabis users.
But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
Could troops be coming in here? Could the National Guard be deployed? If they want to come in and pull the rug out from under the state of Colorado when we're doing successfully economically, socially, and even providing new resources for people struggling with drug addiction, if they want to pull that rug out from under us, I'm ready for a fight.
Wrestling footage of Donald Trump attacking Vince McMahon.
Donald Trump! Oh, my God! The hostile takeover of Donald Trump!
I'm okay with legalization as long as a few things happen. Number one, you get that person off of our healthcare system. Number two, you take away their driver's license. Number three, you take away their kids and you isolate them.
They sell or smoke weed. They should take away their health care, they should take away their children, and they should take away their fucking citizenship. I'm like, dude, that's not a weed smoker. That's a Mexican. That's what that is.
I was arrested 7 times for having weed. A small amount for a blunt.
If your skin happens to be a little darker, you have a 50% to 75% more of a chance of going to jail for the same crime.
How we solve the problem of getting minorities into the legal market and getting them to be able to participate just as much as anyone else. People with less means, whether that's economic or educational, person of color or a woman, there's these barriers to entry into the legal market that in some ways have been set up just by the regulations that we put forward as lawmakers.
In many states, you're not allowed to work in the industry if you have a conviction. And those that are convicted, especially on marijuana crimes, these are our experts. So it's kind of ironic that the very people that got us started are now being excommunicated from participating in a legal market.
And it's not fair because it's the people of color that went to prison for this plan. Now you have, you know, all the suits making billions of dollars and they're trying to cut everybody out. That's not okay.
Tommy Chong.
They came to my house at 5 in the morning with a SWAT team, fully armed, with riot gear, and masks and helmets and
automatic weapons.
These guys are looking like they're in downtown Mosul, a special forces team type of deal, and they're just decked out head to toe. That militarization of our police force has gotten a little bit out of control.
Police officers cut through a door. Criminal defense attorney Michael Sinder.
SWAT-style raids. And I have clients that have PTSD as a result of these raids.
My name is Gary Levine. For the past 35 years, I've been preparing kids and adults for tests to get them into the next phase of their education. Over the years, I've helped people get into college and grad school and medical school that they probably wouldn't have been able to do were it not for our work together.
Educator Gary Levine.
About 14 years ago, I bought this property that had an avocado farm on it. About 6 years ago, they did away with agricultural water for my district, and my monthly water bill went from about $1,000 a month to about $3,000 a month. So I told everybody that we're gonna get out of the avocado business.
A greenhouse on Levine's property.
One day, a guy knocks on my door, and he said, we're a group of disabled veterans, and we would like to rent that space to grow. When I started doing it, I had visions that, you know, I was going to make some money. And isn't it going to be ironic that Gary is making money in the pot business when Gary is the guy who's never smoked pot? The second day of trimming, the police raided us. And it was the police, it was the sheriff's department, it was the DEA, it was some federal agencies. There were probably 40 or 50 police with at least one helicopter overhead the whole time. All had their guns pointed at different people. They threatened us with prison. They took me to jail. They enjoy intimidating and hurting people. They sent me to strip naked and to put on their jail clothes, all the while knowing that my bail had been posted. They were trying to make an example out of us and anybody else who might grow weed. Because I used the word sell instead of the word donate, they came down really hard on me.
You see people that have given their body and their soul to fighting for our country and to fighting for our way of life, and they come back, and in many cases, they're ignored. And there aren't a lot of treatments out there for PTSD, and we're starting to see that marijuana is one of the most effective treatments. In many cases, these people end up being arrested and prosecuted for cultivating for themselves or providing it to other vets. And it is an emotional experience. It's very difficult to see these people prosecuted.
I would like to share my story about me facing 5 years in prison for 6 cannabis plants. I'm a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. I served for 10 years. I did 3 tours. They were treating conditions associated with PTSD, so it was meds for anxiety, depression, paranoia, as well as a large amount of opiate-based meds to include Vicodin and then actually pure Oxycontin. Roughly a year ago, I was on over 13 pills a day, and as of March of 2016, I am pharmaceutical free, living only a cannabis lifestyle. Within a day, I'm actually playing with my newborn son at the time. So it was a dramatic difference. Cannabis has literally changed my life. My kids understand why daddy needs the medicine he does, and they truly love me on cannabis. I'm a happier dad. I'm a better person to be around. I live a better life. This is not just for me. It is for veterans everywhere.
Soldiers in uniform. News footage of a helicopter.
The drug trafficking business has always been one that generates a ton of cash. The Attorney General's office says that it's estimated that drug trafficking profits in the U.S. are about $65 billion a year.
As soon as you made it illegal, the price of it shot up on the black market. Now, when the price shoots up on the black market, what happens? It's basic economic supply and demand.
I am Mr. Purple. I distribute cannabis products through the dark net. People go on there, they make a selection. The buyer's money, which is in Bitcoin, goes into an escrow in the dark net market until we send the package and is received by the buyer. The protocol usually consists of gloves, no fingerprints, no handwriting, no hair. There is no smell coming from the package in any way. That's one of the primary ways that packages are confiscated, is by poor packing. From there, you then do a little bit of extra security by putting anything that you ship into Mylar. The Mylar is completely un-X-rayable and it's impermeable to scent. A lot of it goes to the East Coast. Very seldomly does it head west. It's not as gangster as people think it is.
It is the sellers in the black market that want cannabis to be illegal because that keeps the price high and it keeps their profits rolling.
If you look at statistics on the number of marijuana seizures that are happening at the border right now, they are down significantly from previous years. They don't need to buy the black market marijuana that in many cases has chemicals, pesticides, they don't know what they're getting, and that money is going to fuel organized crime.
From a hilltop, the lights of a city appear below. Caption, Oakland, California. A view of the Oak Bay Bridge at night. The sun rises over Oakland. A vehicle crosses the Oak Bay Bridge. In a downtown commercial district, a sign over a storefront reads, Oaksterdam University, Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano.
We're told we don't know enough about cannabis. We're told it hasn't been adequately studied. Again, the reality is that we have ample evidence with regard to cannabis. We have more than 25,000 peer-reviewed studies in the scientific literature that reference the marijuana plant. That's more than the total volume of literature we have for Tylenol or for ibuprofen. When it comes to cannabis, there is so much for people to learn.
At Oaksterdam University, a man lectures from a podium. At a table, three women trim the buds off of stalks of marijuana. Dr. Asim Sapal, provost and dean of faculty.
What is Oaksterdam University? For those that might not know, it's America's first cannabis college.
In a large container, marijuana plants grow under lights. Dale Sky Jones, executive chancellor, Oaksterdam University.
I focus on curriculum and making sure that what we offer the students matches what they'll need once they get out on their own.
A student takes notes. A teacher demonstrates how to clip a marijuana plant.
And just removing the leaf, and we want to remove the leaf. Remember, this is called the petiole. That's the stem of the leaf. We want to remove the leaf at the base of the petiole.
Students practice trimming marijuana stalks. A close-up of a marijuana bud. Marijuana crystals under a microscope. Lead horticulture instructor, Joey Araneta.
They're learning everything from starting with seeds and seed germination to transplanting to what's called vegetative growth, all the way through the reproductive and flowering stages of the plant, through to harvest and how to design their own grow room from scratch and fill it with lighting and all kinds of ventilation equipment.
Dr. Asim Sapal.
You're going to sit in probably the most diverse classroom setting you're ever going to be in your life. You're going to have high school graduates sitting next to neurosurgeons, next to grandmothers, sitting next to policymakers and city council members. We have 9 academic departments, of which our legal department is our largest. Before we teach you anything, we teach you the law, so you understand what you shouldn't be doing and how to operate safely and responsibly. In this industry, when you talk to somebody about cannabis, 99% of the time, you know what they're giving you? Their opinion. And there's a difference between being opinionated versus being educated, and that's why we have Oaksterdam University. We've graduated over 30,000 students from over 30 countries. When you graduate from Oaksterdam, it's just the beginning.
A teacher in a store reads, I hella love Oaksterdam, Paul Farmer.
They should be teaching this to kids. Yeah, fuck that avocado with the toothpicks in the jar. Get that out of here. Let's get the Timmy and Scotty to cutting some clones. How about that? Yeah, like we're going to do. We're going to crack seeds today, kids. Hey, what are you working with, Kyle? Oh, I have a hybrid. Really? And did you crossbreed? Yes.
My senior year in high school, I was in honors English. My teacher hated me. She just did not like me at all. And just to piss her off, I wrote a paper on the legalization of marijuana. The paper was well written, so she had to give me a high grade. High grade.
Michael Sindrich.
kids are learning in high school that marijuana is just as bad as heroin, cocaine, LSD. And as a result, when they try it and realize it's not that bad, then maybe they think, you know what, maybe heroin, LSD, and cocaine, maybe they're lying to me about that as well.
Marijuana is a gateway drug. That's the number one drug people say they started with before they got on to harder drugs.
The notion that it's a gateway to heroin is like saying sugar is a gateway to, you know, suicide. I mean, it's such a pedantic, pedestrian, immature, irrelevant, unliterate, stupid fucking thing to say.
If you're going to make cannabis or marijuana a Schedule I controlled substance right there with ecstasy, heroin, and LSD, then let's put alcohol in there too.
Jason Mraz.
I never quite understood why there was such a taboo and consequence around the use of cannabis, whereas alcohol was free range if you're 21 and up.
There are statistics that suggest that there might be a twofold increased risk of a driving accident compared to an eightfold risk with alcohol. But in states that have approved cannabis and made it legal, there appears to be a decrease in fatal traffic accidents.
People that drink alcohol tend to drive faster, take more chances, and they're less aware of their intoxication. Marijuana, on the other hand, people are driving slower, following distance are greater, the risk-taking behaviors are less, and the awareness of the level of intoxication is much higher.
I'm not saying smoke a joint and drive, but I'm just saying, sometimes when you smoke joints, you gotta go places. You know, don't get me wrong, I drink, I have a few drinks, yeah, I hang out with Mr. Alcohol, that's my boy, but I'm just saying, it's a big difference. All right, here's hanging out with Mr. Alcohol. Oh, Mr. Alcohol, what you want to do? I don't know, man. Let's get on the freeway. Okay, Mr. Alcohol, let's go. Then you and Mr. Alcohol be on the freeway. What now? Speed up. All right, Mr. Alcohol. Woo, woo. Oh, shit. Mr. Alcohol, it's the police. What the fuck should I do? Go faster. Okay, Mr. Alcohol. What next? I don't know. Pull over. Tell him to suck your dick. That's a great idea, Mr. Alcohol. All right. Here you go. Here you go. Suck my dick. Huh? Oh, hold on. I got to roll down the window. Suck my dick, bitch. Oh, Mr. Alcohol. They whooped in my ass. And Mr. Alcohol was like, I didn't say bitch. But that's how he'll do you. You see, hang out with Mr. Weed is totally different. Hang out with Mr. Weed. Hey, Mr. Weed, what you want to do? I don't know. I think we're hungry, though. Right again, Mr. Weed. Well, let's go to the store. You think we should drive? Hey, man, we're not going to go fast. Besides, you've driven 1,000 times. This is true. And there you'll be, driving Mr. Weed. Oh, yeah, you become a precision driver when you're high.
Paul Farmer pretends to drive.
How do you like that turn there, Mr. Weed? I think you should have leaned into it more. Yeah, all right, Mr. Weed. What now? Let's get on the freeway. Go to that McDonald's. All right. They do got the hot nuggets down there. Check the mirror. Check the side. Check the side. Check the mirror. We're so good at this, man. Oh, yeah. Woo-woo! Oh, shit. Oh, shit, Mr. Weed. Hey, motherfucker. What's this panicky shit? You're not a rookie. That's right, that's right. I don't get paranoid anymore. I know what to say, right, Mr. Wee? That's right. Compliment him on the uniform first off the bat.
Why, hello, officer. My, are they tailor-fitting you guys nowadays?
What now? Relax. Not that much. Give him the paperwork.
He pretends to reach into the glove box, then hand over the registration.
Right now, just relax. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
He puts his hands on an imaginary steering wheel.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Don't say anything else.
A photo of a young girl with Jerry Garcia, cannabis activist Trixie Garcia.
There was always a differentiation between the hard drugs and the psychedelic drugs. And I knew, and especially having, you know, Jerry be a heroin addict and watching, you know, how that can devastate good people, that there's a huge difference.
If you're using marijuana, particularly as a young person, you are definitely playing Russian roulette. I don't care whether it's marijuana, heroin, crack, cocaine, they're all the same.
See, the thing about pot is it deserves its own category among everything. Like, among all the intoxicants, it stands up favorably, except for, like, happiness, you know, shit like that. But, you know, people compare it to coke. I've seen people compare it to heroin, comparing pot to heroin, which tells me, one, you've never tried either, and B, you've never even seen a movie. Like, fucking watch Trainspotting and a Seth Rogen movie and then come back and talk to me.
I don't consider marijuana and pot use as gateway drug. I consider it up to par with heroin and the opioids and the other drugs.
Some people are talking about how, like, weed is kind of like crack, like it's just as dangerous. I think that's ridiculous because I feel like no one's so addicted to weed that they're just blowing people for it.
Bon Appetit host Abdullah Saeed.
When you have an opioid crisis, to trivialize that by comparing it to cannabis, which hasn't caused a single death in the history of the United States, I mean, it's just irresponsible and it's disrespectful to the people who struggle with opiate addiction, and it's disrespectful to that entire issue.
It is ludicrous, absurd, crazy to have marijuana in the same level as heroin. Ask the late Philip Seymour Hoffman if you could. Nobody dies from marijuana. And every death, including Mr. Hoffman's, is partly the responsibility of the federal government's drug priorities, and heroin and meth is where all of your priorities should be.
The myth of cannabis being a gateway drug has been dispelled multiple times now by multiple multinational investigations. In fact, cannabis is actually an exit strategy to many of those dependence problems on other drugs.
But then when opiates got too hardcore on my stomach and my skin started breaking down and I lost all my money and I showed up late for things and, well, this is getting pretty serious, yeah. But my life was falling apart, so I locked myself in a room and I smoked a bunch of weed because I wanted the withdrawal to go away.
For me, pot was a gateway to sobriety. I mean, I use pot to get off the other drugs.
I'm a clinical social worker by training, and I work in chemical dependencies. High sobriety is what it's called, and it's the first of its kind that we're aware of, anyway, that includes cannabis as part of a medication protocol to help people with their addictions, which sounds nuts, but it's not. Lots of drugs, specifically amphetamines, make people crazy. There's 88,000 people a year drink themselves to death with lethal doses of alcohol. There's 115 people who drop dead every day using opiates. Heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, all of those drugs have a dose where people will just drop dead. Nobody finds any recovery at all if they drop dead. There's no known lethal dose of cannabis. People have that ability to replace their drugs with cannabis, that creates room for change. You can have a conversation with a chronic cannabis user. That's how we believe that cannabis is used as an exit drug, as an off-ramp from these other drugs, and it can give people a softer landing into abstinence.
A young woman stands looking out into the desert. Mark Wiz, connoisseur of the Nectar Ball collection.
This is in my nature, I think, as a collector, and collecting the herb just seemed like something fun to do, and everybody I'd show it to was always impressed and enjoyed the whole experience.
A box full of bagged marijuana samples.
Got over 1,000 different pieces of beautiful herb from 1972 to the present day. A little piece of Hawaiian from 1985. Colombian red, and it's from 1978. This is, I think, everybody's favorite. It's Thai stick from 1978. You'll notice the stick, and then it's wound with this little bit of like hemp string, like really fine. and they generally went for $10 a stick, sometimes up to 15 or 20. Black Indica from 1979. That's a stupendous part of the collection because that was the best. Nobody could beat it. Acapulco Gold, that's badass weed. It's a one-of-a-kind collection of beautiful herb, and maybe someday it can help by getting the genetics out of it, the DNA. I don't think you can resurrect it like Jurassic Park, but it's possible. Who knows?
A marijuana bud in a plastic grinder. Cannabis dispensary owner, Peter Patrangeli.
Hawaiian Punch. You just look for that smell, and you know what it is. And you can only imagine tropical vibes, sea breezes. Kind of makes you feel like euphoric and elevated feeling of everything's going to be okay. It's the Hawaiian Punch. We have this lemon OG, and I picked it out because lemon being back crossed with an OG is something I would enjoy. Very limey and fuely and gassy and full-bodied, and you know, some people like their herb grown under the sun. It's natural. It's definitely more eco-friendly.
A wave crashing in slow motion.
OG means ocean grown originally. Definitely my favorite strain is OG Kush, one that has a very lemony punch to it.
Peter smokes a joint.
The 19-year-old at the store who sells me my pot seems like more of a scientist than the doctor. You know, he's the one who's like, yes, it's like a 4-to-1 terpen ratio to CBD to THC. Here, if you look with a magnifying glass.
This is our weed pantry. What we've got is like lots of flowers, different types of concentrates, a bunch of ingredients that are already infused with cannabis. A lot of people ask me, do you just walk into that pantry and like stick your nose in a jar and pick a nug every morning? Yes, that's exactly what I do.
Abdullah Saeed sniffs a jar of buds.
This rosin press is a solvent-free way to extract the resins from cannabis. Inside a piece of parchment paper, there's some cannabis flowers. What's gonna happen is that this machine is going to press it down. It's gonna go to about 200 degrees. Just for a few seconds, it's gonna compress it at that temperature. And what that's gonna do is it's gonna cause the resins inside the cannabis, the oil, to just sort of shoot out the sides. This is an increasingly popular way to make cannabis concentrates. So we're gonna open it up. You're gonna see there's a bunch of wax there. Wow, that shit is gooey as fuck.
Oil on the parchment.
Each one is like a chalk outline of the nug that, you know.
That you destroyed.
Yeah, that once came from it, you know, like in memory of this guy. All right, let's go do some dabs.
Abdullah scrapes the oil off the parchment. On a shelf is a row of different blown glass bongs. He smokes the oil in a transparent microscope-shaped bong. Comedian Matt Billen.
I was in Michigan. I don't know if you guys have ever flown into Michigan with weed. Yeah, not the smartest thing. I saw a cop with a dog, then the dog jumps up onto the carousel. He smelled everybody's luggage. My heart's beating, right? He smelled my luggage, quickly moved on to the next bag. That's when I started to panic. I'm like, fuck, did I even bring it?
Outside an Ace Hardware store, Butterfly Jones pulls away in a Subaru station wagon. The vehicle enters a forested area. Jones pulls over and steps from the car. Nearby, a stream flows gently over mossy rocks. He rinses his face in the water. He fills a large water jug and puts it in the back of the station wagon. In the driver's seat, he smokes marijuana in a bong. The station wagon rolls down a country road.
Comes down to if you can get a 10-hour drive down in one day without getting pulled over. I came to Los Angeles for weed. If you get arrested for weed in the South,
I mean, you just treat it like any other criminal. The way I look right now is what thugs look like in the South. I get pulled over every day.
In the driver's seat, Jones rolls a joint. He takes a puff and passes it to a young man in the back seat.
I think that's a cop behind you.
He takes another puff on the joint.
I've been pulled over with a joint in my lips here in Los Angeles, California. And the cop asked me, what do you think you're doing? Medicating.
Jones pulls over and rolls down his window. He brings the joint up to the open window, then pulls his license out of his wallet.
Looked at my license and everything and let me go. That would have never happened in the South. I'd have gone to jail. They don't even care here. That's the reason I'm here. Because of too many close calls and run-ins with the police in my home state. The whole mentality is completely opposite of the people and the culture around it. And I think it's because, honestly, here, a lot of rich people smoke weed. And they're like, I don't want to go to jail for smoking weed, so rich people paid to have the laws changed.
Andrew D'Angelo.
If you don't love cannabis and you're not passionate about cannabis, it's going to be hard to grow really great cannabis.
Any idiot can grow pot. It's a fucking plant. You water it, it'll grow. But there's those of us that spend the time doing the research. We go and we find the masters and we learn from them.
Cannabis cultivation is part science and part art. And certainly, I think, part luck.
Welcome to Dank by Pank Gardens. This is our awesome propagation room. I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most important rooms in our entire garden. When you come down here, you'll see all of our teen plants that just came out of the cloner. These have been growing for about 2 weeks, so they're really starting to rip.
John Caraluzzi, Dank by Pank Gardens.
This is an aeroponic cloner, and I want to show you underneath if you want to take a quick look. You can see all the roots inside of it, which are really fun. We've turned this off. Normally, we have water spraying out of every red head, and that basically creates the perfect environment for hormones to build on the cambium layer of these cuts and really shoot out the huge root systems that we want.
A room full of marijuana plants.
This is, to me, is the original OG Kush. It's called Ghost OG. We grow in a medium right here of cocoa. This is organic cocoa from inland in Sri Lanka. So we have it shipped in containers, and it comes in bricks, and we basically put those bricks in water and let them sit overnight. And then we break the bricks up and it comes into a nice fine medium you want to see. It's like really nice. And the reason everyone is really into this cocoa craze right now is cocoa holds about 6 times its weight in water. And it also has very high like fibers. So when you feed cocoa, it's really easy for the nutrients to adhere to the cocoa fibers. We've actually won the Cannabis Cup with the plants all back through here a bunch of times. This is a strain called Don Shula, which is just big. It's a winning strain. It's ironic that we call it the Don Shula because, I mean, he's the only, you know, coach that ever won a full season of football and the Super Bowl.
I bought marijuana seeds when I moved here. Why wouldn't you? You can legally buy pot seeds now, right? I don't even grow them. It's like to walk around my neighborhood and sprinkle them into people's yards. Hey, fuck, you called the cops on me. Looks like someone's growing within 100 feet of a school. You're a church, you should know better.
Police officers and DEA agents outside Oaksterdam University.
The DEA, U.S. Marshals Service, and IRS are raiding Oaksterdam University as a school shooting is taking place in nearby East Oakland.
Dale Sky Jones.
It was surreal. What I remember most about the day of the raid is a line of local law enforcement, our Oakland Police Department, trying to stand between a crowd of hundreds shouting shame at the DEA and 100 or so agents raiding 5 different properties.
We know you don't want to be out here on this assignment. We know that in your heart you think that this assignment is bullshit.
We found out that a tragedy was going on a mile away. There was a school shooting.
It's unknown if the gunman is still inside or if the gunman fled before police arrival.
Our law enforcement couldn't walk away because they were busy protecting the DEA while they raided a plant that's never killed anyone. The idea of that school shooting happening and our police not being able to reply to it in a timely manner, and the looks on the faces of the cops that were pissed off at having to be there in the first place, because our local law enforcement actually supports our local medical cannabis industry, and nobody told them that there was going to be a raid that morning.
It's not easy. It's not easy at all. The city changes its regulations, or the county, or the state, or the government, or the president changes, or whatever it is that's going to affect this business.
It's a very competitive market, and we reject 90% of the cannabis that comes through our doors.
Picture a family with an 18-year-old child who comes to them and says, I want to grow pot. That isn't probably a very easy thing for a parent to deal with. So it came to a lot of pushing and pulling, a lot of fighting. After the first crop, when they saw, oh shit, you know, this kids know what he's doing, can actually make money on this, that kind of started easing into more of an acceptance.
Marijuana grower Blake Trapmouse displays his grow operation in the garage. He clips a plant.
When you're growing indoors, we're literally trying to play God. We're bringing the sun from outside, we're putting it indoors. Tried doing outdoors, and the bugs came. So I said, fuck it, build a grow room, and I'm going to try and play God.
Enters the grow room and makes his way through the rows of plants, touching and sniffing the buds. Outside, he fills a barrel with water.
Inside of the grow room, there's a center box, and when it goes below a certain point, there's a pump in here that'll kick on. And it literally just pumps the water, you know, underneath my grow room, up through the floor, and into that center box.
Blake smokes marijuana in a bong.
Cannabis to me has kind of been a world of opening new friendships, and it's not a drug to me. It's not either like a morning coffee or a sipping wine. It's a whole culture. It's a whole thing that's embraced me as who I am. I don't know, it's special. And I get to all the free pot I want. And my friends, of course.
Comedian Matt Billen.
You want to piss a farmer off? Tell him how much weed sells for. Like, how much per bushel? Holy shit. My buddy makes more in his closet. One light and two plants. Good luck with your acreage.
Dr. Asim Sapal.
Everybody's wondering whether industrial hemp's going to make a comeback.
I remember finding out that my grandparents actually grew hemp back before it was made illegal. It was used, of course, for rope and cloth and a myriad of things.
My wife and I, we drink hemp milk. We use hemp soaps. We have hemp clothing.
It's not marijuana. It's hemp. It's used as fiber. It's used for paper. It's used even in some plastics. This is actually a resource that it doesn't take intensive quantities of water in a dry, semi-arid state. Something like hemp could be the new cash crop to really answer some of the economic woes that we have in our rural parts of our state.
I think industrial hemp is going to play a very important role in saving the planet Earth.
You'll notice we have a hemp museum downstairs, and you can see everything that we can produce just from hemp. So a lot of countries are moving forward with it. There's a reason why cannabis is a Schedule I substance. The moment it changes, there's a lot of big businesses. I'm talking about billion-dollar international corporations, and they're going to lose tens of billions of dollars. So they will do everything they can to stop that from happening.
We were in Skagway, Alaska. I was doing a movie with Woody Harrelson. Of course, you hang out with Woody, you smoke with Woody. He had just recently gotten arrested. He had gone to Kentucky because he's all about hemp activism and the multiple usages of hemp. He's telling me the story. So having a guitar nearby, I made up this song on the spot, The Ballad of Woody and His Seed. It is written on the back of a set of sides, the lines, a scene that we had filmed that day.
W. Earl Brown.
From Hollywood he came, feeling lucky. He came to plant his sweet seed in Kentucky to draw attention to farm policy abatement. He flew to the bluegrass to make a policy statement. This is the ballad of Woody and his seed. hemp, you see, can fulfill every need. Natural fibers, no need to fake it. Whatever you need, hemp can make it.
Something like that. You can make those connections happen where maybe you do have some business people that have those skills that can partner with the growers that have those skills and build successful small to medium business models.
Luke Reyes, chef, cannabis-infused cooking.
We were kind of looking for something in downtown LA that was a warehouse that had a little bit of edge to it. There was a vibe. The dinner didn't start when you sat down and ate your first bite. The dinner started when you got out of your car. You walked to this parking lot into a building. And then you transform the whole thing, playing, you know, visuals on the wall. And we wanted a whole experience, because to me, it's like, that's what dining is. It's all-encompassing. It's not just the food. It's not just the service. It's a good feeling, because my thought was, with doing this, I've kind of destigmatized the idea of edible cannabis. As I started working with some of the farmers and whatever it might be that they brought to the table, we treated it as an ingredient. First and foremost, in the style of cooking that I do, it's using, you know, ingredients that are fresh and seasonal, and to take that with the different strains of cannabis that paired best with those. As cannabis comes further into legalization, I 100% think that this is the future of cuisine in general. I want people to eat and enjoy and not be wrecked.
In the restaurant, patrons eat and smoke marijuana.
Something like this, where you're doing fine dining and elevated food, I think now as we can kind of dip our toe into bringing it to the masses.
Holding two plates of food, Luke grins. A view of Los Angeles at night. Jason Mraz.
The more and more people play with this, the more you can find the right magic small dose per item so you can enjoy the food, and you can also get that, you know, elated experience as well, and the satisfaction from it without being curled up in a fetal position.
Hi, my name is Chef Nico, and I'm going to show you how my cannabis recipes will spice up more than your palate. My food will not only taste better, but will make you feel better, and you will never look at food the same way again.
Caption: high-grade cooking.
I have four kids, so when I'm ready to go to an event, they always tell me, like, oh, are you going to go and cook for people that need it, or are they really sick? And I always tell them, you know, like, some of them are sick, some of them are not.
He dumps French fries into a pan of oil.
Here we have some nice Kobe beef, and we're going to make three patties. And you can just press it with your hand, like if you're caressing a woman. Nice, thick, juicy. Next, we're going to add some herb butter to the pan in the back. We can put down our burgers.
He sets the patties in a pan of melted herb butter. He removes the cooked French fries from the pan, then sprinkles seasoning on them. He scoops a tiny dollop of oil with the handle of a wooden spoon.
You take the extract. I would take about that much. I mean, it's literally that much that would medicate three people. Once all of it has melted into it, two quail eggs. Next, we're gonna fry our buns. Once you got them to soak up all the oil, they should look nice and toasted like that.
He tops the hamburgers with tomato, quail's eggs, and caviar. He leans the top buns against the burgers, then lays fries beside them.
This is my take on the most expensive cannabis burger, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
He serves the burgers to a dark-haired man and a blonde woman. They eat. Caption: high-grade cooking with Chef Nico. A huge statue of a blue bear looking into a building window. Caption: Denver, Colorado. Pedestrians make their way down a city street. A sign reads, Adagio Bud and Breakfast. Inside, a Victorian-style house, a young woman and a bearded man with glasses smoke marijuana and pipes. Joel Schneider, founder, Bud and Breakfast.
Everyone here that checks into my place is cannabis friendly, is passionate about cannabis, and love cannabis. What they have never experienced is the ability to smoke freely.
Linda Schneider, founder, Bud and Breakfast.
When we created this place, I said to Joel, if we're doing this, we're doing over-the-top hospitality. A secure, warm, comfortable place for people to smoke.
In a backyard, young people sit at patio tables smoking marijuana. Linda in the kitchen.
cooking and entertaining has always been my love and my passion.
She makes pastries.
We want every guest to feel like they're the only guest here. But the beauty of the place is that they're not. And people love to smoke cannabis with other people. And our guests come in, and within 10 to 15 minutes, they've known each other forever.
In the living room, two women hug. A young man talks with a young woman.
On any given night, there'll be 12 people playing board games and passing joints all night long.
Joel lights a bong with a torch lighter, then takes a long puff. He blows out a large cloud of smoke. A young woman smokes marijuana in a pipe, another in a bong.
The guest that we have here varies from 21-year-olds to 81-year-olds.
We get people from all over the world, doctors, lawyers, veterans, ex-military, principals, teachers, you name it, across the board. Our guests walk down in the morning, and the first thing they hear is, oh, how'd you sleep? Would you like a mimosa? They cannot believe that they can sit in a beautiful living room, a beautiful dining room, a beautiful patio, and smoke. So their appetite is wonderful for our great breakfast.
A bearded man looks into a display case.
We have a full paraphernalia bar, so they don't need to purchase anything to smoke their cannabis with. Some people just like to stay here all day and relax. Other people, we have the Botanic Gardens right here. We have the Denver Zoo, the museum, downtown Denver. And then they all come back and gather together for 420 happy hour.
A menu board features cranberry brie puffs, bacon-wrapped asparagus, spinach hummus, Swedish meatballs, watermelon caprese skewers, and double chocolate brownies for dessert. In the living room, Linda lays out troughs of food. A young woman smokes a joint.
420 is a happy time. It's the best happy hour there is.
A sign on the wall depicts a steaming cup of coffee and a bong. Beside the images appear the words, Bud and Breakfast. Pedestrians make their way along a Denver city street. Coffee beans in a roaster. Andrew Amott, founder Strava Craft Coffee.
I'm the president of Strava Craft Coffee. We're a local specialty coffee roaster. We've been in business for a year and a half. We chose to celebrate the infusion of cannabis into some really fantastic coffee. The really great thing about Denver is that it's a community of innovators, of makers, of specialty foods, specialty experiences. And as we've moved into the cannabis community with our hemp-infused coffee, we've connected with members of this community that are extremely supportive. They believe in our vision, and they help connect us with resources. We're using a hemp-derived CBD oil to infuse into the beans, and it produces some really fantastic results for consumers. You can enjoy a couple cups of coffee and not worry about coffee jitters, and it's fantastic for alleviating anxiety as well. We roast all of our coffees here in Denver, Colorado. We do the infusions here as well, and then package up in 12-ounce bags of whole bean coffee, and we sell those at a couple cafes locally in town. And we do sell those online, and they can order right there, and we'll ship directly to their house. You can prepare it via French press or AeroPress, however you like to prepare your coffee at home.
A young woman makes herself a cup of coffee. Mary Peel, co-owner, High End Transportation.
High End Transportation is a luxury vehicle company that caters to the 420 community. We are veteran-owned, women-owned, and just 100% diversified in our company.
In a luxury van, a woman smokes a joint.
We create experiences for people who like to indulge in the journey. We'll pick you up from the airport on one of our luxury vehicles. We'll take you to the dispensary where you can load up, get your first joint on.
A man blows out a cloud of marijuana smoke.
You get all your drivers fingerprinted, you know, background checks, physicals, make sure they're safe to drive on the road. Once they're all limoed up and our cars are licensed and they have all their numbers on there, you can go in there and hotbox with your friends and do whatever you want, you know, 15 passengers or more. Have a good time and won't affect our driver. But definitely our service is meant to give you a safe place to consume while you enjoy the sights of Denver, Colorado.
Comedian Paul Farmer.
I love weed. I love it. I love it. Don't like it. I love it. And you know why I love it? Well, maybe you don't, but I'll tell you, because I'm not ashamed. Don't you forget, don't you forget who made marijuana. That's right, it wasn't me. It was none of you either.
He looks up at the ceiling, then smiles and nods.
That's right. Our father. He made it for us. He made it for us because he wants us to smoke that shit and eat muffins and shit.
My name's Julie Berliner. I own Sweetgrass Kitchen. We make canna butter-based edibles.
In a kitchen, a baker makes edibles. Julie in a grow room.
So this is Sweetgrass's cultivation. We grow everything in-house because we want to make sure that every time you have an edible, whether it's a brownie or a cookie or you're eating it today or 6 months from now, that you're getting the same experience. It's not required by regulation to grow our own product. We really want to be sure that we're seeing everything from a 5-inch tall plant to the cookie that comes out at the end. Every room in the facility has its purpose. So this is where we do all of our scaling and mixing. Everything from the harvest comes into here. We process it.
A thick pile of canna butter.
You can actually see Brittany here scooping some of our canna butter into the mixer there. So the tub that she has in her hand can make about 20,000 cookies. That's 200,000 milligrams of THC in one bucket. So you get pretty high if you ate the whole thing.
Brittany scoops canna butter into the mixer on top of sticks of butter. The mixer blends the two ingredients together.
It's a sativa-dominant hybrid. The experience of the effects that you'll get from that is more of an energetic effect.
A baker dumps colored candies into a batch of cookie dough. A machine blends the dough, then it shapes it into cookies that are lined up in rows on baking sheets. The sheets are put onto racks, then baked in an oven.
All edibles companies now have to stamp their product in some way in order to make sure that consumers know exactly what's in the product. This machine laser engraves every single product that we have, so it's a pretty clean way of staying in compliance with these regulatory changes while making sure that consumers are safe in their consumption.
A batch of brownies is removed from an oven. Each has the letters THC stamped on them.
I'm happy knowing that Sweetgrass and everyone involved with it is participating in this incredible piece of history, that my best hope for the future, my dream, is to make it into a national and international company.
Dancers in a nightclub. Chris Folkerts, founder, G-Pen.
Originally, I came out to California working in the music industry. Being in shops and seeing where trends were going, I actually saw the first vape pen. At that time, it was such a new technology. I just remember that moment being in a shop, hitting it, and being like, this is the future. You just unscrew the top, you just load, you concentrate in the top here, press the button 5 times.
He loads marijuana into a vaporizing pen, takes a puff on it, then blows out a cloud of smoke.
This is currently our top-selling product, with this being exclusively for herb. It heats up in under 30 seconds. We don't touch the plant. What's amazing about it as a product is all you have to do is screw it on and hit a button. The difference of having to actually take weed, put your hands on it, break it up, it eliminates so much of that. And I think that that's the attraction.
In the clearing in the park at night, a young woman takes a hit on a vape pen. In a club, women smoke marijuana using vape pens. At a dog park, dogs watch two women smoke marijuana. Dr. Tim Hsu, founder and CEO, Vet CBD.
While I was a veterinarian, we prescribed a lot of different medications. A lot of times they were for very common causes. For example, a lot of pets will get arthritis. The medications that we use for arthritis can have negative effects on the kidney or the liver, for example. And so looking at cannabis, we found that CBD and other cannabinoids can be very effective for arthritis, pain, nausea, vomiting, separation anxiety, or noise anxiety. We wanted to make sure that we had something that was not only safe for them to consume, but that was tailor-made for them.
Using a syringe, a woman squirts a thick brown liquid into a dog's mouth.
Come here. Go
boy. What do you think?
Go, good boy.
Tim and a woman pet the dog. It makes its way across the park in slow motion.
A lot of people are concerned about cannabis and the high effect. The product that we've created, there is no high.
A dog chases a ball in slow motion.
It's a ratio of about 20 to 1 CBD to THC. There's a small amount of THC in there, but that THC is medicinally effective. It doesn't cause a high because we have a lot more CBD to counteract that. So owners don't have to worry. The most rewarding thing is hearing the feedback. All pet owners should be able to have access to medicine like this, you know, especially for their pets.
An overhead view of a city at night. Traffic pours down the streets in fast motion. In his Subaru station wagon, Butterfly Jones.
Where I'm from, it's really hard to find good product, and when you do find it, it's going to be expensive.
A bearded man shapes glass into bongs.
In Los Angeles, the marijuana scene is a lot more vibrant.
At a nightclub, people dance. A sign reads, "All is madness. Embrace the madness." At a table, young men and women smoke marijuana.
There's growers, there's people in competitions with each other to create product and have a place on a shelf in hundreds and hundreds of stores across the state.
The station wagon pulls over outside an apartment building. Jones removes the bags of marijuana from the bag and takes them into an apartment.
When I first came here, I just wanted to be able to like have a boring-ass job and smoke a bowl and not go to jail. But then I realized the potential, and now I'm here to make money and succeed.
Let us dream about a federal government that has legalized it, regulated, and it's this great industry.
A rocket on a launch pad.
Ignition. Lift off.
Legends are stories that help us to understand the future. I hope the legend of 420 is about bringing cannabis out of the dark ages.
The rocket soars over the surface of a rocky reddish planet, then enters the planet's atmosphere. On the surface, a man in a spacesuit steps slowly across the rocky red-tinted landscape. He climbs atop a large pile of rocks, looks out over the barren landscape, then holds a hand up to block the sun. He returns to the spaceship, which sits in a field of dry grass. In the dirt, he finds the bowl of a bong, then the glass chamber. He brings the opening of the bong to his space helmet, as though trying to smoke from it.
When this is legalized, we are going to see a renaissance of incredible beauty.
In slow motion, he hurls the bong into the air, sending it spinning like the bone thrown by the hominid in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
What's your philosophy on smoking weed?
Oh, I don't really got no philosophy on smoking weed. I just get fucked up.
Credits, an Accelerator and Rugged Entertainment production. In association with Headgear and Metrol Technology. Title, The Legend of 420. Director, Peter Spire. Producers, Peter Spire and Kelly Bevan Spire. Executive producers, Barry Gordon, Mike Radiloff, Phil Hunt, and Compton Ross. Associate producers, Jake C. Gordon and Ryan Bloom. Written by Michael Andrews and Peter Spire. composer Shahid Mustafafar.
Someone shoots a full clip, party done. Even then I'm going on to run. I'm a ganja son, got it from my father and my aunts. Used to pinch a spliff till I was 18 with bricks and just been it for it. Many a time was always less than a nine, but that's just petty crime. They slapped my wrist of it. Legalize the thing, the feds trying to take the piss with it. Criminalizing the youth, I'm only speaking the truth. It's just a plant we bun Zeus to get in touch with our roots. Or would you rather us roaming the streets with nothing to do? Pass the weed. Yeah, that's all I need. Yeah. To open up my senses, my sentences will leave you far from senseless. So fuck the census, what I'm saying could not be censored. Why don't you ask about the marijuana laws in census? Talk so much shit, like I'm doing the test for Mensa. Smoking a sensimilia from I was in placenta. What an adventure, I was born high so I never cried. I'm playing but I smoke from AM to AM. You know what I'm saying, I'm probably getting high when you're praying. I'm going to class, I smoke in the bath, driving my car, writing bars before my exams was lighting up hard. Should have been in how high with red and meth getting charged. You know my essence is large, I know the weapon is ours and I'ma use it. Cause people getting higher for my music, don't abuse it. Cause naturally the body soon refuse it, you confuse it. I always got a point and I'ma prove it. I just elevate my mind, I'll never lose it. Yeah. So pass the weed. Yeah. Pass the weed. Yeah. Pass the weed.
The logos for Sound Team Studios, Accelerator Media, Headgear, Metrol Applied Intelligence, and Rugged Entertainment appear. Copyright 2017, Rugged Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved.